live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Yes, we're going to be telling you about Johannesburg today, and I'm looking forward to having a guest that I've never interviewed before on the program today. His name is Mpume Lelo Kunene, and I did not just receive the gift of charismatic tongues, that is his name. He is a native of Johannesburg, South Africa, and he is a pastoral intern at Heritage Baptist Church of Johannesburg, South Africa, and he is a reporting student at the Reformed Baptist Seminary in California, or a correspondent student, I'm sorry, and that's in Sacramento, California, and he is pursuing an MDiv there, and together with his wife Abigail, they are training and trusting the Lord to be sent out of South Africa as missionaries into other parts of Africa. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And let me say it again and hopefully get it right again. Mpume Lelo Kunene.
Thank you, brother. It's a privilege to be on the show. And you're doing pretty well with that name, actually.
Great. Well, then, praise God. And before we get into the topic at hand, which is going to be specifically the progress, opportunities, and challenges of the Reformed faith in South Africa. If you could, please tell us about Heritage Baptist Church of Johannesburg.
Yes, yeah, so Heritage Baptist Church is a young church, recently stopped being called a church plant. We were planted in 2011. We have two elders, two bivocational elders, mostly full-time in the pastorate, and they labor there. Three deacons, a membership of about around 97. Growing church, young church, loves the Lord Jesus, trying to navigate honoring the Lord Jesus in Johannesburg multiculturally in a manner that pleases Him, following the Scriptures. So we're excited to see what the Lord has for us, and we desire prayer to grow more in following the Lord.
And this is a confessional Reformed Baptist church?
This is a confessional Reformed Baptist church. We hold to the 1689 Baptist Confession.
Great. And if anybody wants more details on this congregation, we will hopefully remember to repeat this later. But the website, I should say, address is heritagebaptist.co.za. heritagebaptist.co.za. And now, what we typically do on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when we have a first-time guest is we have them give a summary of their salvation testimony, including the kind of religious atmosphere you were born and raised in, if any, and what providential circumstances the Lord raised up in your life that drew you to Himself and saved you.
Great. Well, one of my favorite stories is talking about the Lord's grace in my life. I was born and raised in a Christian family. My grandmother really loved the Lord. Till this day, she still loves the Lord. She followed the Lord, and we grew up having family worship, going to church on Sundays. But personally, I had no desire at a young age, and especially, but I knew that the God was real, and specifically the God of my grandmother is real, and he was different from the God of the people around us, because South Africa is very religious generally, especially being in Africa, we have African traditional religions, and I knew that there was a distinction between the God of the people around us and the God that my grandmother followed. She was a part of a German mission. She had been saved in a German mission that was kind of Lutheran, but kind of also not so much, not confessional or anything like that. And so throughout the years, I just was with my grandmother, but as I grew up, I kind of fell away from that. But providentially, because my grandmother was a disciplinarian, that kept me from a lot of foolishness and a lot of evil that I could have gotten into. And when I went to university for my first year, I was very excited to be free from my grandmother and be free from that kind of disciplinary and that kind of authority, but the Lord had other plans. Just in my first semester, I met some men from a group called Campus Crusade, which I'm sure you might have heard of.
Oh yeah.
And they shared the gospel with me, and they were interested in me, and I was interested in me, and so it worked out. And I said, well, let me just follow these Americans. I think they were there for the summer. I said, well, let me just follow these Americans and see what they're talking about, because they seem to like me, and I like me too. And during the course of that time, as I kept spending time with them and we're studying the Word together, the Lord really started to instill some things in my heart. And really the providential circumstance that brought me to the Lord was I was really annoyed that when they asked questions at Bible studies that I didn't know the answers, because I'd grown up in a Christian household. But I did not understand all the basic questions that they were asking. And to top that off, my pride could not take the issue that this other man who just seemed to knew every kind of answer. If you ask him anything, he'll tell you a chapter and verse for everything that you ask him. So I was really annoyed at that. And so I started reading the scriptures over and over again. Just even my studies were starting to suffer in that second semester, just reading so that I can go to the Bible study and answer the questions. But the Lord in his grace used that to kind of prick in my heart, and Matthew 7:21 just kept playing there. Not many who say to me, Lord, Lord, but only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. And that just stayed with me to such a point where one day I came to a point where I realized that I actually have not called him Lord in the fullest sense of the word. I've not fallen on my knees before him. I've not received of his grace, and I don't really have him ruling my life. And so there was one day particularly where I said, okay, Lord Jesus, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. There was a Pentecostal church that a lot of my friends were going to, so I went to that church during that time as well. So the Lord saved me. That's how the Lord saved me.
Praise God. Now, how did you come to discover and embrace Reformed theology specifically?
Well, so over time, me and a number of my friends, and this is a story that you'll hear a lot if you speak to South Africans, and I dare say a lot of Southern Africans, actually, as I've been speaking to more brothers from Kenya and Zambia and so forth, what you hear a lot, and so what happened with me specifically was I had a group of friends, and we were studying the Word together. We were really digging into the meanings of the Word, and we were really enjoying, and to our church's credit and to our pastor at the time, who was really helping us with little tools to study God's Word. So understand, okay, with Scripture, understand, look for a promise, look for a command when you're studying the Word. And so as we're doing all of those things, we're seeing that I started seeing a lot of things that I'm seeing in the church that are happening, and the things that I'm seeing in the Scriptures that are being said very clearly, that I've done differently. And when I ask a question, the answers that I get just didn't seem to work. And so during that time, I started thinking, okay, something's a bit off, and I already had a friend who was a lot more conservative. He wasn't Reformed, but he was a lot more conservative. And so bonding with him together, we started feeling, okay, we're going to be attending church, but something's off. And over time, we started getting introduced somehow over the internet to, there's a YouTube video called The Revival Hymn. And we started listening to that and listening to the men that were there. We started getting introduced to Leonard Ravenhill, A.W. Tozer. We're like, okay, so holiness is the way to, this is what it is. And it wasn't until, I think it was 2011, when this friend of mine that I just mentioned, somebody put a Paul Washer video on his laptop. He doesn't remember.
That's definitely going to do some damage.
Yeah, it did. Oh, brother, you don't understand. So let me paint the scene for you. This brother wasn't there. We usually had this thing where we'd cook meals together in the evenings together at the university dormitory, and then we'll sit down and watch a video, discuss theology. So only two of us. We had a group of four, but there's only two of us. And this, so we're cooking a meal, and then I'm flipping through my friend's videos on his computer, and here's this video titled "The True Gospel of Jesus Christ" by Paul Washer, and I'm scoffing. I'm going, what's this guy going to tell us that we don't know? My friend and I, we get our meals, we sit down, say, okay, well, we don't have anything else to do. Let's click on this. We click on it, and I'm watching, and he starts going at it. 6 minutes in, I pause the video, and I'm looking at my friend. I'm like, are you hearing this guy? And he's like, yeah. And I said to him, do you realize that he's just destroyed everything that we know to be Christianity within 6 minutes? And he's like, an hour and 20 more minutes to go? And he's like, I thought I was the only one saying, yeah, are you? And then we pressed play, and we were just so consumed for that hour and 20 minutes. And there was even in the video, there were two people who seemed to stand up and leave. Maybe they might have been going to the bathroom, I don't know, but they seemed to be walking quickly, and the camera passed by their face, and it looked like they were frustrated. I don't know what was going on, but that's exactly how we felt. We just started laughing, like, that's exactly how we feel. We feel like this guy, we feel like we need to just stand up and take a break. And just from that moment onwards, our lives just changed. We were introduced to a brand new world that we thought did not exist.
By the way, brother, I don't know if you could back away from any mouthpiece you're using or speakerphone, because there is some overmodulation for some reason, especially when you speak loudly. I'm not telling you to change the way you're speaking, but maybe just back away from the mouthpiece or the speaker that you're using.
Is this better?
No, it seems to be still overmodulating a bit, but what we'll have to do with what we have, I'm forced to turn your volume down because of it. And I'd prefer not to have to do that, but if that's what I have to do, that's what I have to do. Hello?
How about now, brother?
Can you speak again? I'm sorry.
I'm here.
Yeah, it's still overmodulating a bit. I'm not sure why. It's strange, because when you first called in before the show, it wasn't doing that. But we'll have to deal with it, I guess. To brag a bit about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, since you brought up Paul Washer, some of my listeners already know this, but I have been waiting over a decade to interview Paul Washer on this show. He is one of the few people that I know of that I have been really eagerly and prayerfully desiring to interview for many years, that I was not getting any success contacting him and so on. And it just so happens, in God's providence, he was a speaker recently in New York City at a conference I attended, the Foundations Conference, and I approached Paul, asked him to have an on-site interview there, and he immediately said, well, brother, I'm sorry, but I need my pastor's permission to conduct any interviews. So I said to him, well, it just so happens I know your pastor, Anthony Matheny. Can I text him? And if he approves, will you do it? And he said, sure. So I texted Anthony Matheny, and he immediately responded and said, that'd be a great idea. So Paul conducted the interview, loved it, I think much to his amazement, because I don't think he was expecting to love it. And he wrote me a glowing commendation for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio just recently. It's not even on the website yet, but it's going to be very soon, God willing. So I just thought I'd throw that in there, and I will make sure I send him a recording of this interview so that he can receive the blessing of knowing of how the Lord used him in your life. And by the way, have you ever spoken with him? Did you let him know about this?
No, I've never spoken to him. You know, around the young men that I've been around in South Africa, you know, Paul Washer has a halo on his head. he has just changed. The Lord has used his ministry in a way that we'll only probably be able to see in glory. He has really affected a lot of young men and a lot of young women's lives to glorify God, to understand what it is to love the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him according to the scriptures. So I'm still waiting for an opportunity to meet him. I haven't had an opportunity to do so yet, but Lord willing, in the future at some point maybe. Or I'll just meet him in glory. but I'm very thankful for him, yes.
Praise God. Well, I want to give our listeners our email address if they have any questions about the Reformed faith in Johannesburg. On our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us at least your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you disagree with the Reformed faith and you don't want to draw attention to your identity, or perhaps you believe in the Reformed faith, but the church where you are a member rejects it, might even adamantly oppose it as heresy or something. Perhaps you're even a pastor and you are Reformed and you are at odds with your own congregation or denomination. Whatever the case may be that would drive you to want to remain anonymous, as long as it's a personal and private matter, we will grant that request. But otherwise, please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence, if you live outside the USA. And tell us about, first of all, I know that the Heritage Baptist Church of Johannesburg, South Africa, is in a fellowship of churches called Sola 5. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, this is a great group of brothers who love the Lord Jesus. And
that's obviously a nickname from the five solas of the Reformation.
Yep. Yeah,
the watchwords of the Reformation: salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to the Scriptures alone,
by the glory of God alone.
Amen.
God alone. Mm-hmm. And so these are Reformed people, Reformed and Baptistic people. We're all over really this Southern Africa. This group, but a lot of the churches that are in the group are in South Africa, and they're. A lot of them are confessionally reformed. Some of them are confessional churches, and some of them are not. But generally, all of them are Calvinistic and want to do things in a manner that honors the Lord. So a lot of them are actually master's seminary graduates.
Yes.
And some of them are influenced by master's seminary graduates. And so you have that kind of mix of group that's there. And it's a growing group. It's a small group if you comparatively to how the size of South Africa and the amount of churches in South Africa, but it is a growing group.
And if you could summarize for our audience, because we have all kinds of listeners, they're not only Reformed, even though that's predominantly, I gather, most of our listeners are Reformed, judging from the emails I get. But there are people who are new Christians. There are people who are not Reformed. There are even people who are Muslim or in religions outside of biblical Christianity, like Roman Catholicism, Eastern Orthodoxy. There are even atheists who occasionally contact me, and there are members of cults and so on. So why don't you give us a summary of what it means to be a confessional church? Because people might wrongly have their minds immediately believe that we are talking about the Roman Catholic sacrament of penance and confession, which is an unbiblical and heretical rite of the Roman Catholic Church. So obviously that is not what we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not sure all the technical definitions that one would say, but I'll just say that it's holding to a confession So when we say confession, we're talking about you holding to a confession that usually predates you. So it comes from some age that's in the past. And so when we say confessional Reformed Baptist Church, generally we mean you hold to probably the second London Baptist Confession that was penned in Britain, in London in 1689. And so when we say a church is a confessional, it means that there's a long tradition that goes with that. We hold to there's one of the reasons actually why our church was named Heritage Baptist is because the elders who planted the church, they were trying to dispel with this idea of novelty that seems to be a big thing in South Africa and in other areas too, I'm sure, where we want to be new, we're coming with a new thing, we're coming with a new word from God or anything like that. It's really just an anchoring ourselves on a long tradition of belief that is reformed from the particular Baptist. Now, our other brothers who probably are not confessional in that sense is just because they don't hold to that particular confession or maybe another one of those confessions, but they do hold to a statement of faith that has a lot of the classically reformed positions in terms of the doctrine of God, the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of man, and so forth.
Great. And what would be, in your understanding, or according to what you know, what would be the percentage of Christians in South Africa, or even if you want to even go broader on the African continent, if you know that, who are Reformed believing Christians?
It is, you know, brother, like you say, from what I know, because the Lord is doing a lot of work, and so I'm not aware of everything that is going on. In terms of what the Lord is doing in South Africa and in Southern Africa, definitely not so much in Southern Africa, but in South Africa specifically, you have a number of groups that have been traditionally reformed. So you have the Reformed Evangelical Anglican Church, and that group, if you count the amount of members that they have, that's 0.02% of the whole population of South Africa. Now, that's the members that they have at the last count, I suppose. That's the numbers that is publicly available on their websites and things like that.
These would be Anglicans that still adhere to the 39 Articles of Religion, which is their confession of faith, which is a very biblically sound confession, I believe. I agree with these Reformed Anglicans on the majority of the 39 Articles. And as I like to rib or make fun of my Reformed Anglican friends, I even agree with the wording in the 39 Articles on baptism, because it says that you should not forbid children from being baptized. And as a Reformed Baptist, I don't forbid children. As long as they believe and repent, that's fine. They can be baptized. Because it doesn't say infants in the wording. But even though I know that that's the way they understood it,
yeah,
there is no mention of the infants in their baptismal statement in the 39 Articles.
Well, that is a funny joke. I think I'll try that. I have a number of friends. I think I'll try that with them and see how far it gets me in the conversation. I must say that our brothers in South Africa that are from Africans, they're very sharp people. So next time I interact with you after I've tried that, I'll let you know what the response was.
Yeah, I have quite a number of friends here in the States that are Reformed Anglicans. And they're not all in lockstep with each other, sometimes they have inside or in-house disputes, just like Reformed Baptists do, but they have usually in-house disputes over different things, such as what traditions of Roman Catholicism do they believe are permitted,
and the
worship and the practice of the church. They're, like, for instance, they might disagree, at least over here. I don't know about the case in Africa. But over here, they would disagree over the practice of Ash Wednesday, for instance, and things like that. But they are still, nonetheless, a very solid group of folks, and they have a lot of prayer needed for the battles they face, not only against the leftist apostates on one end, but even on the Romish Oxford movement, Anglicans and Episcopalians on the other end.
Oh, are there a big group over here?
No. They're a small group, but I just happen to know a number of them because of the fact that I work in Christian radio and happen to be Reformed and have gotten to know probably nearly every single one in leadership in the United States. But yeah, it's a very small percentage-wise.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so these guys in South Africa, they were constituted in 1938, splitting from the liberal branch of Church of England, and they have since established a college, George Whitfield College in Cape Town, and that is a really good school, and I have a lot of friends that have gone there, some who are going there, and they come up being very sharp, and they have a focus on church planting and on the mission of God in South Africa. So these are wonderful people, but they make up a very small percentage if you look at the numbers in South Africa in terms of what is Christianity. And by the way, in South Africa, if you look at official numbers of how big Christianity is, it says about 77% to 80%, depending on where you look. And so when I say to you 0.02% are these people, you start to see that number in context.
So let's step back a bit and get a broader scope of the religious atmosphere. And let's stick with South Africa. What would be the largest religious group, and then break down, according to your knowledge, from there to the smaller groups?
All right. So the biggest religious group is a group called the Zion Christian Church. This is, for all definitional purposes, this is a cult. It was started in 1924, I believe, by a man by the name of Elias Lekhanyane, and $10 to any of your people who could say that. but it was started by Elias in 1924. He was influenced quite a lot by Pentecostalism, but he's also very traditional, very very traditional man, and he kind of syncretized the Pentecostalism with a lot of the African traditional religious understanding of who God is generally and what God wants to solve.
Now, and the name of the group again was the Christian Zion Movement?
Zion Christian Church.
Zion Christian Church.
Yeah, they make up about 30% of the whole population of South Africa. And they are the second largest African initiated group in Southern Africa, African initiated, so it's initiated by a native of Africa. It's the second largest group. There's another one up north somewhere.
In fact, I want you to continue in your description of this group when we return from our first break, because it is the largest professing Christian group that you mentioned. So I think that we should know more about it. So let's pick up where we left off there. We're going through our first break now. If anybody, again, wants to join us with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, please give us your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We'll be right back with the progress, opportunities, and challenges of the Reformed faith in South Africa right after these messages from our
Got to tell you, for my money, Chris Arnzen's radio program is just the best.
Iron. Criticizing Iron.
I think that's what it's called. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio and TV with Phil Johnson of Grace to You, inviting everybody to come to the G3 conference, which is almost instantly become one of the best conferences in the country.
And it is. It's a great conference. I love it. And Chris Arnzen was there last year. He's been there, I think, every year. It's great to see him there. You and I actually did some recordings in the lobby at that place, which is a highlight.
Tons of stuff going on. Yeah. Tons of great speakers. And no matter where you are in the building, you will hear Chris Arnzen's laugh. And that's worth the price of admission alone. If you would like to join Phil, me, Chris, and a cavalcade of great preachers, so it should be a cavalcade of great preachers, and me, G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com.
And now there's even more exciting news. John MacArthur himself is now also on the lineup at the G3 Conference, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, 2020. Go to G3Conference.com, G3Conference.com. See you there.
This is Pastor Bill Sasser, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture. I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jansen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future. and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full 2 hours is, and I'm going to try to pronounce it correctly again, Mpumelelo Kunene. Did I get it right again?
Yeah, you got it right again, brother. And hey, by the way, you can just call me Lelo also. That usually works for me.
Okay, Lelo. That's a lot easier. And we are discussing the progress, opportunities, and challenges of the Reformed faith in South Africa. If you have a question for Lelo, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And we were speaking right before the break about the Zion Christian Church, which is a cult. I believe you said in South Africa, or at least in Johannesburg, 30% of the population there is a member of this cult. If you could correct me if I'm wrong there.
It's the whole country, so that's about 17 million people in the whole country follow this.
And so we were saying that if you could explain exactly what syncretic means, and of course when you said it was a traditional church or religion, people may have the wrong idea who use that term very differently in the United States and other parts of the Western world, in the UK and so on. They might think that that's a good thing, that it it brings back thoughts of traditional Christianity, things according to the way things have been done and believed for centuries and so on.
Well, I must say I appreciate what you're doing in helping me translate myself here. We use the same language and mean different things. This is very helpful and very instructive. When I say traditional, maybe let me take a step back here. So in understanding the Southern African, and really largely the African, but let me talk about the Southern African psyche, there are certain traditional ways of thinking that have made up who we are as Southern Africans. And part of that is our love for tradition in the ways of our fathers and doing things in a manner that honors our fathers and those who came before us. And a lot of that is good. But a part of that also is mixed in with generally our native religion, which is what we call the African traditional religion, ATR, and that has in it the idea that there is a creator, one God, who has created everything, and he reveals himself to different peoples in different ways, but to the African, the way that he works is that he speaks to the African and organizes the life of the African through the ancestors. So those who have died, those who are family members who have died before us, they are closer to God, and so we need to keep them happy. It's more nuanced than that, but to make it simple, we kind of need to toe the line in what the ancestors want us to do. So if something goes wrong for me in my life, if perhaps a marriage that I was hoping would go well doesn't go well, somebody passes away that I love, or if perhaps I lose a lover, or if something goes wrong in my work, whatever goes on that's wrong, probably because my ancestors are not happy with me at this particular moment because I probably did something. And so for me to fix this, I need to go to a traditional witch doctor. And again, this all varies depending on which tribe you're talking to throughout Southern Africa, which tribe you're talking to, and how it takes root in their particular people. But I'm just going to speak to you now in general. You have to go to a witch doctor, a a person generally, and by all definition, this person is demon-possessed, in my view, biblically. And what this person is, this person, you go to them, and they will talk to the ancestors for you, and then they will let you know what you need to do in order to appease the ancestors. So you have two intermediaries to get to God. You need to get to this person, this witch doctor, and get them to sort out, to talk, to tell you what the ancestors want. And then get to the ancestors through this witch doctor and get them to be happy with you. And then you get whatever you want to go well for you in your life. So when I say traditional, I mean that the idea is that you can have Christianity that mixes in syncretistically these old traditions such that you don't have to choose between the two. And so you have a lot of places where the witch doctor is being replaced by a prophet, somebody who calls himself, uses the biblical term of prophet, because they're an emissary from God, but really, in everything that they're doing, they're just replacing the witch doctor and putting Christian terms on it. And so the way of life and the way of thinking about God is exactly really the same. It's just now using the name of Jesus and using the Bible for wisdom and all sorts of things. And with this particular group, there's a lot of legalism that goes with it. So you're not allowed to do a lot of things. There's a whole list of things you're not allowed to do. You have to be baptized a certain way. And to go to church or to do particular things, you have to be dressed a certain way. There's a certain uniform that you have to wear.
Wow.
Depending on how old you are and what gender you are.
You mean in the entirety of your life or just when you attend worship services?
When you attend the worship service. But even in the entirety of your life, depending on what kind of person you are and or what rank you are, you have to wear a badge. You know them by their badge and their hats that look pretty like military badges and hats, actually, when you just see them. And we see them all the time all over the street. They're wearing these hats and badges, and they kind of wear a normal life. I think they might get some special dispensation if they work a particular kind of job, but generally, when you're walking around the streets, you see them with these badges on top of whatever they're wearing.
Now, as you said that they had a unique way or a specific way that you needed to be baptized. I'm assuming you mean for salvation. I don't know that, but what do you mean by that?
Yeah, so the way of salvation here is they'll use the Christian terms to you. You have to get forgiveness for your sins through Jesus Christ. You get baptized three times. So you have to be baptized, you have to be dunked three times in the water, and then your sins are forgiven. From my understanding now, again, I do not have extensive experience with this group because it's not so prevalent where I'm from in Durban, but in Johannesburg, over the years, I've been interacting with them a lot more, so I don't know a lot of the specific details, but from my understanding, that salvation is not permanent. You have to follow so many other rules to maintain it and to keep it and to go forward with it. You have to essentially be perfect. And being perfect is defined by doing the things that are being required of you. You have to follow what the prophet says, because the man who started it, he was the prophet, so you follow him, what he said. And then after he passed away, there was a dispute between his children as to who's going to take over the leadership and become the prophet. So then there's a split. The main group is led by one of the grandsons today, and the other splinter group is led by one of the other grandsons. And so now you have two groups, and each of them have their prophet, and you have to follow what that prophet says. And when you pray or when you do different things, you have to consider this prophet, you have to think about this prophet. You generally, your life is directed by him in many ways. Now, of course, they use the Bible. And when they talk about things, they'll use the Bible and they'll have a lot of prophecies and things of the like. But they have to follow what the prophet says.
Now, do they, in other ways, which sometimes makes a cult more dangerous, do they have actually biblical beliefs in other areas? Like, do they believe in a biblical and historically accurate understanding of the Trinity? Do they believe in the deity of Christ, the virgin birth of Christ, the sinless life of Christ, the bodily resurrection of Christ, and, you know, many of the other pillars of the faith that they've contaminated with these other heresies?
Yes, a lot of them they believe in. I do not know them to have a sound understanding of the Trinity, and I do not know them to fully properly understand what the meaning of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they do proclaim salvation in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's why they dip you three times in the water. So they do have that understanding, but again, it's not wholesome. And they do have the understanding of confession, repentance. So you have to repent from your sins. You have to repent from your old way. And they do preach from the Bible. So they do have, in one sense, as an authority, so they do have a section in their minds that says the Bible is God's word. It is the authoritative God's word. So they do have that in there. But, of course, they nullify that by having other authorities that are equally, if not more important, and namely that is the prophets and what essentially what the ancestors want done. That also is binding. So in a lot of ways, they have a lot of those things in form, but when you dig in, it's not airtight.
And I understand from your presentation at Grace Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania last night that there is a split amongst this group because you have two siblings that are claiming to be heirs of the throne, for lack of a better term, in this cult.
Correct. And a lot of that is shrouded in mystery, so I can't tell you much because there's just a shrouding in mystery of how all of that happened. They're trying to keep this very airtight, but essentially there is a split, and it's a very clear split. Now, when it comes to their biggest gathering, which is really the highlight of their calendar year, and it's the largest gathering, or the largest religious gathering in Southern Africa, from what I read and understand, 3 to 5 million people, they go to this mountain, Mount Moriah in Limpopo. That's one of the nine provinces of South Africa. South Africa has nine provinces. And one of these provinces, Limpopo, has a mountain where really their grandfather, the man who started the church, that's where he had his visions, and that's where everything started for them, and so that's their holy place. And so they all gather there over the Easter weekend, and I think a little bit more than that. There's a big pilgrimage throughout the country to go there every year around April or March.
Now, obviously, you and the theologically sound Christians, not only Reformed, but those that are Bible-believing Christians, even amongst Arminians and others, are in a tug of war for the souls of the community there. And so what do you know of about their tragic success in luring people out of sound churches into the cult, and also how much true God-given success can you mention about people being drawn out of that cult into genuine repentance and faith?
Oh, brother, let me start with that exciting note, the second one.
I just looked at the clock, and we have to go to our midway break, so if you could pick up with your response when we return from our break. If anybody wants to join us, the question, and we do have several people waiting in line, and we'll get to you as soon as possible. But if anybody else wants to join us with a question of your own for Lalo about the Reformed faith in South Africa, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence. If you live outside the USA, only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
Back together again, yeah. Back together again, yeah.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, and my friend Chris Arnzen and I are excited to be attending another G3 conference together in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, on a theme that is vitally important to all of us, Worship Matters. I'll be on the speaking lineup with Eric Thomas, Joel Beakey, Paul Washer, Steve Lawson, Phil Johnson, Tom Askell, Vody Balcom, and the world-renowned preacher, teacher, and author, John MacArthur. A fascinating new addition to the roster is Costi Hinn, nephew of the notorious false teacher Benny Hinn. Costi has repented of the word faith heresies of his youth and is now a Reformed Baptist pastor and cessationist in California. Come join me and Chris Arnson at G3 2020, January 16th through the 18th in Atlanta by registering at g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. See you there.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Baptism and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981. 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new, beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them, Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
Welcome back, and we're going to be hearing more about Johannesburg, but I have a few important announcements to make before we return to our guest, Lalo, who is going to be describing in more detail the success in a biblical sense, in a salvific sense, that the Lord has granted true brothers and sisters in Christ in regard to evangelism and specifically evangelizing those involved in cults and false religions in South Africa. But before we return to that discussion, I just want to remind you that a week from today, Thursday, January 9th, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., I will be having the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon again. This is a biannual event in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and the last several of them have been held at the Carlisle Fire and Rescue Banquet Hall here in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And it is a really phenomenal facility, very spacious, and we thank the folks there at the Carlisle Fire and Rescue Banquet Hall for making it very affordable for us to rent the facility. Our speaker, our guest speaker, is Justin Peters, who is an evangelist with cerebral palsy. He is an advocate for the disabled, and one of his key missions in life is to expose the deceptive, dangerous, and damning deceivers in the Word of Faith movement, which is a branch of Pentecostalism that is extremely and severely heretical, and basically teaching that people can speak things into existence, whether good or bad, whether that if no matter what kind of sickness or illness that you have, if you have a strong enough faith, you will with certainty be healed. Therefore, many people don't even seek medical attention and die as a result of this wickedness. So that is one of the key things that he speaks about and travels the world to expose. And he is going to be speaking on the theme, protecting the flock from wolves. Not only will you get a free lunch and hear Justin Peters for free, if you are a man in ministry leadership, that is, but you will also get free new books donated by many major Christian publishers in the United States and the United Kingdom. And these are titles that I specifically selected from each of the publishers, and they have donated 100 copies of these titles so that every man in attendance can go home with a heavy sack filled with these books. So if you want to be there and take advantage of all these free things, you can get all the details that you need at ironsharpensironradio.com. There is a banner ad for the pastor's luncheon right there at the very top. Also, you could just send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com to register, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As I said, this is for men in ministry leadership only, pastors, elders, and I think that's the same office, by the way, deacons, parachurch ministry leaders, and other men that would be considered leaders. So we hope that you can attend, and please get me your registration, your free registration, no later than the 7th of January. And as I said, the event is January 9th, Thursday, January 9th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Carlisle Fire and Rescue Banquet Hall in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. We have people coming as far away as North Carolina to this event, not to mention Maryland and Virginia and other places surrounding Pennsylvania. Obviously, most of the men will be from Pennsylvania, but we look forward to seeing all of you. And also, an event that's taking place later this month. It is a phenomenal event that I have attended already for 3 years in a row, and I am now going to be at my fourth G3 conference, manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharp and Zion Radio. The G3 conference, which stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory, is being held at the Georgia International Convention Center in College Park, Georgia, which is a suburb of Atlanta. The theme is Worship Matters, and they, as always, have an absolutely mind-blowing roster of speakers to address this topic, different elements of this topic under the umbrella of Worship Matters. We have on the roster Dr. Stephen J. Lawson of One Passion Ministries, who I just had the privilege to interview once again in New York City when I was at a different conference recently, conducted an on-site interview with him again. We have Anthony Mathenia, who is the pastor of Paul Washer, that we heard our guest Lalo raving about before and talking about what a powerful impact Paul Washer has had on not only his life, but in the life of many in South Africa in regard to the Reformed faith. Paul Washer himself confirmed with me during my interview with him in New York City that he intends to be there. And, of course, he has a very delicate health situation, so sometimes he does have to cancel speaking engagements because of that. Very serious health problems involving his heart, but we trust he will be there since he feels confident he will be there. My friend Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, who has actually spoken at Heritage Baptist Church of Johannesburg, South Africa, twice, and he was delighted that my guest Lalo was being interviewed today, and he is an old friend of mine going back to 1995, and I have orchestrated over 20 public moderated debates with my dear friend, Dr. James R. White, an extraordinary, brilliant brother in Christ, will be there. Phil Johnson, the executive director of Grace to You, which is the media ministry of John MacArthur, he has been interviewed on Iron Sharp and Zion Radio more than any other guest on this program since we launched originally in 2005. Todd Friel of Wretched TV and Radio, Derek Thomas, the world-renowned Presbyterian author, teacher, preacher, pastor, and conference speaker. My friend Dr. Tom Askell, God willing, will be there if his health continues to improve. He also had a recent scare where he collapsed from behind the pulpit and was unconscious. Apparently he is recovering well and expects to be there, intends to be there, unless God has other plans. But Dr. Tom Askell, the executive director of Founders Ministries, which is the Calvinistic ministry in the Southern Baptist Convention. Stephen J. Nichols, the president of the Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul, and Ligonier Ministries. Costi Hinn, who is the nephew of the notorious heretic and charlatan Benny Hinn. Costi Hinn has renounced and repented of the Word of Faith movement that he was raised in. He is now a Reformed Baptist pastor, and he is a cessationist as well. And latest update is he has accepted the call to a church in Arizona. You heard Dr. James R. White earlier mention that Costi is pastoring in California, but now he is pastoring in Arizona. And we are delighted that he is going to be there. And of course, the huge news is that John MacArthur himself was added to the lineup. I would go there to the G3 conference, even if it was just John MacArthur. So that's Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th, coming up very soon in Atlanta, Georgia, or more specifically College Park at the Georgia International Convention Center. If you want to attend, please go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com as soon as you can and register. And from my interview last Friday with Josh Bice, or actually I think it was, what date was it? It was actually Monday, I'm sorry. My interview on Monday with Josh Bice, he informed me that there's only like one or two spaces left for exhibitors booths, like the one I will be manning. So if you would like to man an exhibitors booth for your church, your parachurch ministry, your business, do so quickly before they completely run out of room. So to register for attendance or for an exhibitors booth, go to g3conference.com, g3conference.com. Last but not least, if you love this show and you don't want us to disappear, please, I beg of you, to go to go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion, or if you want to mail in a check the old-fashioned way via snail mail, an address does appear on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail a check made out to ironsharpensironradio.com. And we are in urgent need of your finances. We have bills that we still have not paid for December, and it's already in January. We have not paid our rent. We have not paid our electric bill. We have not paid our internet bill, which we require for our live streaming of this program. I don't even have the money yet to travel to Georgia to the G3 conference to man my exhibitors booth, although all my expenses are covered by the G3 conference for my registration and for my hotel. Everything else in regarding travel and meals, I don't have any of that. So please, if you really love this show, if you really want us to stick around, go to g3conference.com and click support, then click... did I say G3 conference again? Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Remember, folks, never siphon money away from your regular giving to your local church in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Never do that. Never put your family in financial jeopardy if you are having huge problems making ends meet. If you're in that position, never give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and leave bills unpaid in your own household. But if you are blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, providing for church and providing for family, you have extra money collecting interest to use for recreational purposes and entertainment, please use some of that money to help us remain on the air if indeed you love the show. Please help us. I can't even express in more urgent terms how much we need your donations. I hate making these requests, but if you want us to stick around, I need to make them. We had over 41,000 people download this program in October alone, and yet we still have only a tiny handful of very generous and very loyal and very faithful people donating to us. It's kind of a mystery to me. I don't understand it, but if you are among those people that love the show and you've never given before, please consider donating as much as you can and as frequently as you can. That's ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. If you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you're not even prayerfully looking for one, you're living in rebellion against God, I can help you find a church, God willing. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world, including in Johannesburg, South Africa, the church where our guest is a member, Heritage Baptist Church. So, if you need help finding a church, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put, "I need a church," in the subject line. I've helped many people find churches all over the world where they have either visited and joined, or where they have visited when they were on vacation, or where they have recommended their family, friends, and loved ones in those areas that do not have a church of their own. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address to send in a question to Lalo regarding our discussion on the Reformed faith in South Africa. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Lalo, if you could pick up where you left off, you were very excited about a question I asked about the God-given success that you have witnessed and perhaps even been involved in yourself, by the grace of God, in winning souls out of the major cult, the Zion Christian Church, and other false religions in South Africa.
Yes, so I've heard a number of stories, but one that really has been exciting to us is my wife has been involved over this past year, most of 2019. She's been walking with a young woman who was actually considered a prophetess in that movement, and she has completely come to renounce it. She loves the word. She's learned. It's been a long walk that my wife has had to really pray and really work with her at discussing just what, how do you even study God's word accurately, and walking with her and teaching her that. And I happened to run a Bible study on a university campus where she was a student, and I was able to take her through the Gospel of Luke, not for too long of a time, but just seeing the fruit in her life. And she was attending Heritage Baptist while she was in Johannesburg at the university. And the Lord, she's really a trophy of grace. She just got married to a man that's actually at one of the churches that are sponsored by Heartcry in the townships in South Africa.
Praise God.
That young lady just warms my heart. The Lord has really worked in her heart, and the Lord is really pleased to do that. And there's a lot more that's happening that I might not be aware of, but that one story is very dear to our heart at this moment.
So tell us about some of the other religious groups that are rivals of biblical Christianity that you face there in South Africa.
Yeah, so we have the Zion Christian Church, and then we have, so within what is called evangelicalism in South Africa, so if you look at the stats, these is what is called evangelicalism, but you'll see that a lot of it actually, as I define it, it's not. So one of it is these, if you read Konrad Mbewe, if you're aware of Konrad Mbewe and you read any of his articles, you'll see that he's passionate about this particular subject because it is all over Africa, and particularly over the past 2 or 3 years, this has been a pandemic in Southern Africa, where there are these prophets who are Pentecostal. They spring up a church, they plant a church, and they use the Bible. They have everything, the Trinity, the Gospel, the inspiration of the Scriptures, but they're Pentecostal, and they are prophets, and so they are trying to outdo one another in doing, using and doing things that are miraculous, as it were, to try and solve people's problems. And so some of them make people eat grass, or grass in American.
Like Nebuchadnezzar. why would they think that's a good thing?
Well, because of, if you going back to the syncretism that I was talking about, is because it's just a replacement of this idea that I have issues and God is not benevolent enough to just hear me cry out to him and through Jesus Christ hear me and love me and look upon my issue. No, I need to do these certain things in order to remove this blackness up above me. And so these prophets capitalized on that, and they were making people eat grass. They had people drink rat poison. Some of them We're having people drink gasoline. I mean, you hear, there was one that was having people eat snakes.
Wow.
In the sex service. And others have, some of these prophets kick ladies in the stomach during the service. If a lady perhaps has been struggling to conceive, they'll kick her in the stomach in front of you. You can just Google this on YouTube. It is absolutely crazy.
No, well, I don't know if you're
Southern Africa, and particularly in South Africa.
I don't know if you're familiar with the snake handlers here in the United States in the rural areas of the South and Appalachia, but there are Pentecostal churches that still exist, believe it or not, that because of a misapplication of that very famous biblical text, they handle poisonous snakes, and they
Is that Mark 16?
Yes, and they also drink poison. To my knowledge, they don't eat the snakes, but there's nothing wrong with eating a snake if it's dead and cooked, of course, but not a part of a religious ritual. So this is like even more bizarre than what we have here locally. Well, not that locally to me, but it's, as I said, in the rural areas of the South predominantly.
Yes. And so we have this problem. It's a real one. And Conrad and Barrow, you can just read. He's really lamenting this ideology. And he has really an article that really explains the thinking. If anybody's interested, can go to Conrad and Barrow's blog. But in any event, so we are dealing with that. And Christians in South Africa, generally, especially evangelicals, because they know these people aren't Catholics. They know these people aren't any other kind of old-style conservative group. They just see these people as being evangelicals. And so we're all put in the same box as them, and we're seen as fools by our colleagues at work. And as we just live along, we're seen as these people who cause these problems. And the government is actually having conversations publicly about how they will try and stop this, because now the evangelical church is seen as a threat to the livelihood of the people, whereas in the past that was never the case. But now these prophets, so now there's going to be some kind of control. They're thinking about putting on some kind of control, which we understand the reaction by the government, because it's not really good for the people. But this is what we deal with. And so you have a lot of people that are stuck in those things because they like the term Jesus Christ, but they also love to have their earthly problems solved, and so they follow these prophets. And a lot of it is sometimes it's gullibility, perhaps. A lot of it is what Paul says to Timothy, that they will gather to themselves itching ears. And a lot of it is just, you know, people who just don't know, who've never perhaps seen anything. So we're seeing a lot of young men and women coming out of that through internet ministries. So a lot of people are coming out of these Pentecostal kind of environments that foster that kind of thing through the internet ministry. They will somehow land on the internet, just like a similar story to mine. They'll land on the internet, see John Piper, John MacArthur, Paul Washer saying something, perhaps Conrad and Barrow, they'll see something, and the Lord uses that, and then they start seeing, wait, Christianity is more, there's more. There's a reality of a dying Savior whom, if I trust in Him, my sins will be forgiven. And actually, it makes sense. It's not this thing that I have to pursue, do these things that look stupid and foolish, but it's a gospel that I can put my trust in. So the Lord has been using the internet, and as the internet prices become cheaper and more accessible to more and more people all over the country, the Lord has been using that, and then they flood into our Solar Five kind of churches. Others flood into the Reformed Anglican types of churches, and even other types of more solid biblical churches, perhaps that are not in those groups. But we hear a lot that are leaving these kinds of ministries. So it's not as much as this is infuriating and frustrating, and it's coming with a lot of challenges. We are also, by the same token, seeing the Lord, meeting some people, especially younger, middle-class South Africans coming out of these things as they become more, as they're thinking more, and they're seeing how foolish a lot of these things are. And especially because whenever you find these things, you'll find a lot of immorality by these prophets and a lot of greed in terms of money and how they and their possessions, so people just become disingenuous. So they really starting to distrust them. So the Lord is using that to bring people to the true gospel.
Yes, you mentioned earlier a dear friend of mine that I've known since 1995, Dr. Conrad Mbewe of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, and also the Chancellor of African Christian University, and I believe he may have just changed posts there. But he has warned many times of the heresies and dangers of the charismatic movement in Zambia, and that it makes the charismatics that are here in the United States appear extremely biblical and sound in comparison, because as you were mentioning before, he was saying that very often the pastors have really just adopted the title pastor, and they are in essence witch doctors. And he has even said that there have been some pastors that have sexually shared their own wives with men in the congregation to receive some kind of blessing from God, and also, of course, that they have had rampant adulterous relations with women in the church themselves. About a really nightmarish situation. And by the way, if anybody listening ever hears about Conrad Mbewe preaching at a church or a conference near them, they have got to hear this man. He is actually my very favorite preacher on the planet Earth.
He's a gifted man, and he's able to see and explain these things very clearly. And I mean, when he talks about that kind of immorality, there was one who was actually on trial in South Africa right now for having a harem of young girls. It is absolutely atrocious the kinds of sins that these men are caught in, and because they use the name of Christ, and by all definition, they are called Christians, we all get lumped together with them, and you run out of superlatives because they just keep outdoing one another. You know when Paul says in Romans 12, outdo one another in showing honor and serving one another. Well, they outdo one another. They're in a competition with one another to do another more foolish and more radical thing to prove their prophethood.
Yes, it is a shame. So I'm assuming then from what you said, thanks be to God, the government in South Africa does not sit back and allow these kinds of harems to exist. And I also assume you meant with underage girls. Is that what you were referring to? That this is not legally permissible in South Africa, or at least in the areas that you're familiar with?
Oh, absolutely. No. South Africa, thankfully, we do have laws that govern in terms of you can't do things like that. You can't be a pastor, a person who's in spiritual authority, and have a harem of underage girls that you do those kinds of unspeakable things with. It's not allowed. And so this man that I was referring to, who's got a large ministry that's actually international, based in South Africa, that man is currently under trial.
Wow. Well, let me get to a few of the listener questions, the listeners that have been waiting patiently, at least I hope they've been waiting patiently. We have Harrison in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, who asks, I have heard from some missionaries overseas that cave in to pressure when they are surrounded by sheer paganism to have ecumenical relationships with churches and missionaries that profess to be Christian but who deny the gospel, including Roman Catholics, Eastern Orthodox, and other denominations that would not be in the pale of Bible-believing Christianity. Can you give us a little bit of a summary on how your church, Heritage Baptist Church in Johannesburg, has reacted to that kind of pressure?
So, in our church, we love the gospel, we love the Lord Jesus, and we are committed to His Word. And anybody who shares that love and that commitment to God's Word being the final authority of life and practice, we generally love and we work with those people. There are a number of, I would say, heterodoxical, and I mean people who are not, who by all intents and purposes do not believe the gospel and would not be Christians, that we will never work with. We will never work, for example, with someone like the ones that we've just mentioned now, who, they, even though they might have a statement of faith that is, if you read it, it sounds biblical, but their practice is unbiblical when they do these kinds of things that we were speaking about just now. We would never work with those people. However, we also recognize that Christians differ on secondary and tertiary matters, and so we love brothers who have a zealousness about God's glory and His Word. And some of those people, like I mentioned, the Reformed Anglicans. So we're Reformed Baptists. We are committed to 1689, but we recognize that the 39 Articles is a good confession that has a strong heritage, and so we will work with people who love the Lord Jesus in that fashion. We work with the Reformed Anglicans, for example, in a student ministry kind of organization that we're. Because you need an organization if you're trying to get into the university to be able to reach students, and so you have to kind of form a society, a student society, as it were. And so we work with them in that kind of context on the university campuses, so that we can do Bible studies and bring a lot of students to come to know Christ. So we will work with Reformed Anglicans. We consider them brothers. They love the Lord. They love His Word. It is supreme to their minds. We just come to differences, and differences, we have certain differences that perhaps would stop us from forming a church together or being in the same church, but nevertheless, these are people whose Christianity we do not deny. And of course, there are other people who are either Pado Baptists or perhaps various things that are tertiary and secondary that we would work with if they love the Lord Jesus and we can see that there is evidence of faith in their lives and in their practice as well.
But obviously,
I don't know if that answers the question, but that's generally how we view it.
Right, but obviously when it comes to Roman Catholic missionaries, though, if they are faithful to the Council of Trent, they would be denying the biblical gospel.
Absolutely, and so we will never do anything together with the Roman Catholic. We do not consider them to be preaching the gospel that has life in it. We believe them to be preaching another gospel.
Now, would you, out of curiosity, work with those that are outside of the realm of biblical Christianity on providing aid physically to the community around you, food and clothing and other things? I know that can be, on one hand, a wonderful thing, and on the other hand, it could be a dangerous thing because you are being aligned in the minds of people with their false gospel. So I'm just curious if, on the physical nature, how you...
So I think I understand the question. Being in Johannesburg, we're in a city, really, and that's possibly the most affluent city in Southern Africa, probably in Africa, too, one of the most affluent cities. And so, generally, we have not really had people come to where we are at that have that kind of. Where missionaries come here to do that kind of work, that feeding people, anything like that. We really haven't had to interact with that. But I think I'll just say this: that we know there are brothers and sisters who have come to South Africa who are planting churches. And then because other people within the churches have a desire to help out in other needs. So, for example, there are a lot of orphans in South Africa, a lot of children that don't have homes. And so some of these Christians, under the guidance of the local church, but being separate from the local church, as it were, but under the guidance of the local church, will form a home for children to care for them and do things of that nature. And certainly we would... That we would see that is a biblical thing in the sense that because those people, out of the abundance of their own hearts, and they want to serve in that capacity, but it is not a thing that touches the gospel. Well, one would say it is an outflow of the gospel, but it is not something that is a kind of a ministry or a missionary kind of tactic that is trying to manipulate people through providing things in order to say that you have converts. It's not something that even touches, comes close to that. It is churches that are biblical, that want to further the work of the kingdom, and then people from within those churches establishing these separate organizations.
Okay, we have CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who wants to know how great of a threat is Islam in South Africa?
Islam makes up 1.3% of the population in South Africa, so people who are adherents to Islam. And a lot of Muslims that are there in South Africa are generally Arabs that trace their heritage within one or two generations, really, from somewhere in the Middle East. And they pose a threat in the sense that, of course, they're a false gospel that we have to deal with, and we have to share the gospel with them, we have to work with them. And for where I'm from, I was born and raised in the city in the surrounds of Durban, which is in the east coast of South Africa. And in that area, there is a lot of Muslims, and there's a lot of mosques. And so I actually cut my teeth in evangelism through Muslim evangelism, because that's what you deal with when you're in that region. But in one sense, here's the thing. When people, black South Africans, which is the majority, of course, of the country, when they convert from whatever ethnic religion or whatever to become Muslim, and even to many senses to become Christian, you actually still have to dig a little bit deeper, because they're still practicing African traditional religions as the core of their hearts. So I've met a number of men who are Muslims in Durban who actually, when you talk to them, their actual issue is that they still hold to this ancestral tradition that says that you need to appease the ancestors. So they will go to mosque, but then they'll also go to the witch doctor to deal with the real issues of life. And some of them, actually, the Muslims in Durban have done what you were just talking about a moment ago, where they feed the people and come with food and say, come to our mosque and we'll feed you. And so people will actually do it that way. And so a lot of the conversion is very surface, but people in their hearts, they still hold to the ancestral kind of thinking. So that's really the core that you have to deal with generally.
All right, I'm going to read a question for you and have you answer it when we return from our final break. By the way, folks, the next break is going to be much shorter than the previous one. I forgot to warn my guest, Lalo, that our midway break is a long one, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in our middle break, because they air their own public service announcements during that break to localize our show to Lake City, Florida. I forgot to warn you about that, because it was quite a long break, but this next break is going to be short. And so we'll have you answer the question when we return. John in Bangor, Maine asks, I have heard stories of black South Africans taking vengeance upon white South Africans, farmers and others, where their property has been stolen, where they have been murdered by these black South Africans taking vengeance. How prominent is this? And is this something that is seen as a growing horrific problem, or something that is dying down? We'll have you answer that when we return. And again, this is our final break in the show, so we look forward to hearing from you with your questions before we run out of time at chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com if you want to get behind John and Bagger Maine online with your question. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them, Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest in buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer.
He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy, and currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Welcome back to our discussion on Johannesburg, South Africa, specifically the Reform faith in South Africa. And if you have a question, send it in quickly because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And we look forward to hearing from you if you send the question in enough time. And we, before the break, as you may remember, Lalo, John in Bangor, Maine, was asking about the stories, the nightmarish stories he's been hearing about regarding white farmers and perhaps other citizens who are being murdered by vengeful black citizens of South Africa and even having their property taken over and so on. If you could separate truth from error in this area.
Yeah, I'm going to try and be very succinct here. This is a very touchy subject because in South Africa right now, especially for the past 10 years, everything has just been so racial. There's been such a huge racial divide and so racially charged. And so numbers and statistics and things are being thrown around seemingly really to kind of push ideas or talk about certain things in particular ways. And really, South Africa, what South Africa has is a crime problem. We have 57 people that are murdered every single day. So that is a serious problem. And so that even filters down to the farms as well. And the farms have two things, really. There's two things that's common about most farms. One is that they're usually generally owned by white farmers. There's white people who own the farms, and there's black laborers, of course. And then second is that the farms are isolated. So if you're a criminal, you're going to like to go to a farm, and you're going to probably want to get try your luck there because there won't be help any close. So a lot of people that die in these farm attacks are both black and white people. It's not necessarily a racial thing. In some cases, you get that sense that it is a racial situation that's happening there where those people are angry. But that is, when you look at the statistics, the numbers really show that that is not the large majority. A large majority of this is just crime that everyone in South Africa is dealing with, that is just a part of our country, and we're trusting the Lord to help us with that. I might also just mention that in South Africa, because of these racially charged everything that's going on, everything is racial, the church really has an opportunity at this moment to unite, to show a multicultural, when you have a multicultural church that sings songs and worships in English, but also perhaps in one of the home languages of South Africa, and you have a church like that where the people from across racial divides love one another, you have an opportunity to show the love of Christ to win people over in the country. And so the church has that opportunity, and a lot of our Reformed churches are growing in that, and we are trusting the Lord for that specifically, that we would be a community that, that shows the love of Christ across racial divisions.
And in fact, your marriage is an example of a ministry to those around you, demonstrating how the blood of Jesus Christ tears down all barriers that would include ethnicity and skin color. Your wife, it happens to be a white American young lady, and yep. And a former member of Grace Reformed Baptist Church in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania.
Correct. Yep. Where the Lord has blessed us with even one son who's neither of our two ethnicities.
Is it Grace Reformed Baptist Church or just Grace Baptist Church in Chambersburg?
Grace Baptist Church in Chambersburg with the pastor Craig Harris over there.
Right. That's, which is a church plant of the church where I'm a member. And I'm sorry, folks, that I, even though I've known of your existence for quite a while, I sometimes forget the full name of the church. I would like you now to summarize what you most want etched on the hearts and minds of our listeners regarding South Africa and regarding the Reformed faith there before we run out of time.
Well, just if you could pray, just pray that the Lord would continue the work that he's doing in getting people out of these cultish and out of these prophet-rich areas, and that the Lord would give the church in South Africa real unity, even in light of these racial divisions, which is a big part of what's going on in the psyche. And that be hopeful. We trust the Lord, even in the midst of all the challenges that we have. We are trusting the Lord to do that he's not forgotten us, even though there's a lot of things that are going on the wrong, and you might hear a lot of things in the news, and you might hear things that sometimes are maybe charged one way or the other. But just remember that the Lord has not forgotten us, and we're trusting that the Lord has not forgotten us, and pray for us that we would grow in grace, whatever prayers that you pray for yourself, in terms of wanting to love the Lord Jesus Christ more, wanting to honor him practically in our daily lives, and wanting to change the culture so that Christ is magnified in the lives of even others and all the people that are around us. Pray those same prayers for us as well as we're trying to follow him as your fellow brothers.
And don't forget, the website for Heritage Baptist Church in Johannesburg, South Africa, is heritagebaptist.co.za. heritagebaptist.co.za. And folks, please don't remember about the Iron Sharpens and Zion Radio Pastor's Luncheon next Thursday, January 9th. If you want to attend, if you're a man in ministry leadership, it's free of charge. Register as quickly as possible at ironsharpensironradio.com. You'll see a banner ad for the luncheon, and you could just email me also at chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. I thank you so much, Lalo, for being my guest today. I look forward to your frequent return in the future to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio as my guest. I want to thank everybody who listened, especially those who took the time to write. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Thank you, brother.
You too, brother.